We've been taking a break from our normal series in Samuel to look at some Christmas passages, and last week we focused in on Mark chapter 1, and this morning we will look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Ammon, Ammon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiad, Abiad the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Elihud, Elihud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke are what we call the synoptic Gospels. That means that these books give to us a synopsis of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And each gospel begins a different way. Last week we looked at the gospel of Mark, and we pointed out how Mark begins his gospel describing the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news, the beginning connected to the beginning of the world. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And Mark doesn't tell us about Mary and Elizabeth and angels appearing. But Mark begins right away with the temptation of Christ and John the Baptist pointing the way to Jesus Christ and Jesus overcoming that temptation. Mark connects us to Adam, the first Adam who failed in his temptation and sinned, and connects us to Jesus Christ who overcame sin. The message of Luke is one in which he describes fulfillment. We read about the angels coming to Zechariah and the angels coming to Mary and they tell and informing them that they will have children and that Mary's son will be named Jesus, and the angels sing at the birth of Jesus, the birth of a new creation, just as the angels sang at the first creation. Well, as you can see this morning, the Gospel of Matthew begins in a very different way. This Gospel begins with a genealogy, a long list of names. And some of you, hearing me read these names this morning, probably began to wonder, what is Pastor going to do with these names, this long list that we quite often skip over and get to the good stuff in verse 18. But you see, these names are very important. They're important because they emphasize to us Jesus' human nature. You see, the second half of Matthew chapter 1 emphasizes to us Jesus' divine nature. The angel appears to Joseph in verse 20 in a dream, and he tells Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the second half of Matthew 1 emphasizes Jesus' divine nature. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. They will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But the genealogy in Matthew emphasizes Jesus' human nature. And as you look carefully at these names, as we will do, you will see that in that human nature, there was sin. Jesus came from a sinful human line. A sinful human descendant was Jesus, his descendants being sinful, Jesus not being sinful. And so this morning we are going to look at the human line, the human sinful line, which brought about the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin by looking, first of all, at the structure. And we do that by reading verse 17. "Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ." Three eras of 14 names. Three lists of 14 which describe to us and lay out for us the three epochs in Israelite history. We go from Abraham, one of the patriarchs, to King David in the first list. Then we go from King David all the way through the kings to the exile to Babylon. And then we go from Babylon to the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three generations of 14, Matthew lists for us. And there are many people who have tried to understand these names and to determine if there is a connection between the three. One group has tried to say, well, perhaps it was the same number of years from Abraham to David, from David to Babylon, from Babylon to Christ. Well, that's not true. There is a different amount of years in each epoch. Well, some have then tried to say, well, it's a complete list. It's a complete list of the generations that Matthew is listing for us. But if you compare this genealogy to others, you will see that Matthew has left out certain names. You see, Matthew has carefully selected his list by way of the Holy Spirit. God has carefully used Matthew's hand to write out this list of names, three lists of 14, each laid out by Matthew here at the beginning of his gospel. What is the significance of that number 14? Why is there three lists of 14? Well, we'll get to that later in the sermon. Let us first of all look at how Matthew begins his genealogy. In verse 1 we read, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now last week we began the Gospel of Mark by pointing out how Mark begins by saying, "The beginning of the gospel." The beginning of the good news. And we made that connection between the beginning in Mark 1 and the beginning of Genesis 1. Well, in Matthew chapter 1, we read a record of the genealogy. And the root of the Greek word genealogy is the same root as the word beginning. Only Matthew doesn't use beginning, he uses genealogy. Genealogy is connected to beginning, but it's not the same word. A genealogy has to do with the beginning of a people, the beginning of a line which belongs to Jesus Christ. In fact, Matthew's record of the genealogy is describing the beginning of God's people. Not the beginning of creation, like Mark. The beginning of God's people. And look how he lists this in verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was called by God in Genesis chapter 12 to go to the land of Haran. Abraham was given a special covenant by God that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as many as the sand in the seashore and the stars in the sky. The Israelites looked to Abraham as their father because God was made a special covenant with him, the people of Israel. Well, this is the beginning of God's people. You see, the Gospel of Luke also gives us a genealogy. In Luke chapter 4, he lists out the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 3. And at the end of Luke 3, the last name on the list is the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Luke's genealogy of Jesus Christ connects us with Adam. Matthew's genealogy connects us with Abraham. Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. Abraham, the man called of God and given a special covenant relationship with God. And this is the record of the genealogy, or the beginning, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I've mentioned to you before about a Hebrew structure described as a chiasm, where a chiasm begins with the same words in the lower level, and then it has the next words at the next level, and then it connects at the top with the same words. Well, notice the chiastic structure of Matthew's genealogy. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then as he lists the genealogies, he begins with Abraham, then we come down to David in the second epoch, and then we end with Jesus Christ at the bottom. Clearly, Matthew has an emphasis on Abraham as God's people. And as Matthew traces his genealogy all the way through the Old Testament, from Abraham all the way to Jesus Christ, you notice that it ends with Jesus Christ. There's no one else on the list. There's no one else on the list because Jesus Christ is the first and the last. There's no one else on the list because everything that took place in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. And no longer do we trace the people of God as Matthew did in his genealogy through the Old Testament. But the people of God are those who belong to Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to Him. This genealogy is yours because you are a son of the Lord Jesus and a son of God. Well, as this genealogy ends with Jesus Christ, we see and recognize that Matthew is not trying to make a point that this genealogy is only for Jews. But this genealogy is also for the Gentiles, those who know Jesus Christ, who were not direct descendants of Abraham, but came upon the connection of God's people through their faith in God and their faith in God's Redeemer. And we see this as we trace through this genealogy. Now, one thing that is unique about Matthew's genealogy from all the others in the Bible is Matthew inserts things in his genealogy that no one else does. The genealogy begins fairly typical in verse 2. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah. But then notice his comment. And his brothers. Judah was chosen as the one son of Jacob whom God would bring about his redemption. Out of Jacob's 12 sons, Jacob, the father of the nation of Israel, God would bring about his Savior, his redemption, through the line of Judah. And God emphasizes this through Matthew by that comment, and his brothers. Judah was chosen as the one brother of whom God would bring salvation. But does that mean that Judah is to be exalted? That Judah, that special son of Jacob, and if you were of the tribe of Judah, you must be a special man, someone might read and say. But look at verse 3. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. This is the only genealogy in the Bible where we see the names of women. And Matthew makes the special point to point us to Tamar. Do you remember the story of Tamar in Genesis chapter 38? In Genesis chapter 38, we read the story of Judah and Tamar. Judah goes out and he marries a Canaanite wife. And he gives, and his wife gives birth to a son, and his son is wicked, and so the Lord puts him to death. And Judah found for his son a Canaanite wife, Tamar. And after his son dies, Judah's other sons are supposed to take Tamar into their household so that her line, her husband's line may be preserved, and that her future may be preserved through descendants. But no son of Judah wants to take this upon himself. And Judah then is supposed to take care of his daughter-in-law, but he refuses. And finally, in this story, Tamar dresses up as a prostitute, and she tempts and seduces Judah, and Judah sleeps with her, and she gives birth to twins. And when she tells Judah that she's pregnant and he recognizes that she's his daughter-in-law and Judah recognizes what he's failed to do, he tells Tamar this in verse 26. Judah recognized this and said to her, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son Shelah." Judah has to say to Tamar, a Canaanite, "She is more righteous than I. What she has done is more righteous than what he has done." Tamar exercised her faith. She recognized what was supposed to take place. And through this sinful encounter, she gives birth to a son who is of the descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the list goes on. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Rahab, the second woman mentioned in the list. Rahab was also a Canaanite, wasn't she? She lived in the city of Jericho in Joshua chapter 2. And the Israelite spies go into Jericho to spy out the city as the Israelites are planning to come into the land and attack. And Rahab, the prostitute, protects the two spies. And when the spies come to her and they are searching for them and the people of Jericho want to kill them, Rahab gives this glorious testimony. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting with fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and you will save us from death. Rahab recognizes that the God of Israel is greater than the gods of her people. Rahab the Canaanite expresses her faith to the spies that the God of Israel is Lord of all and salvation can only come through him. And Rahab the prostitute finds salvation in the God of Israel. And she is brought into the nation of Israel and she gives birth to a son in the line of Jesus Christ. Well, her son's name was Boaz. And Matthew again makes a comment about Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. Again, she did not belong to the nation of Israel. But Ruth married an Israelite man. And the day came where her father-in-law died, her husband died, and her sister-in-law's husband died. All the men in the family had passed away. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, tells Ruth, go home. Go back to your people. The Lord has taken the men of our family away. We have no hope for the future. Go back to the Moabites and live there and marry again. And her one sister-in-law goes back, but Ruth doesn't. Instead, she professes her faith. She tells Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Ruth expresses her faith in the Israelite God. She recognizes that if she goes back to her people, away from the God of the covenant, the God of the promise of salvation, she will die, and she has no future. So despite the circumstances, despite the death of her husband and the death of her father-in-law, she sticks with Naomi, and the Lord blesses her with a husband, and she marries Boaz, and her son is in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Matthew goes on, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Notice the name of Solomon's mother is not mentioned. Matthew mentions Uriah's name. Uriah also was a Hittite. He did not belong to the line of Israel. David committed adultery with Uriah's wife. David tried to have Uriah killed. He tried, first of all, to cover up his sin. He brought Uriah home from the battlefield and he told Uriah, go home and be with your wife. And Uriah the Hittite said, I cannot go home while the army of the Lord is out at battle. And he refused to stay home, but slept outside the city. Finally, David gives the order to his general to have Uriah put at the front lines and have the army pull back so that he will be killed. And Nathan the prophet confronts David and tells him that his son through Bathsheba will die. But God provided another son. God provided Solomon. King Solomon, who would become king of Israel despite David's sin. King Solomon, of whom would be born the line of Christ. You see, Matthew's genealogy points out for us Jesus' human nature. Jesus came through God's sovereignty, not through a perfect line, but through a sinful line. And God even used sinful people, sinful situations in their lives, to bring about the coming of His Son, the coming of His salvation, the Son of God, to earth. And God used the faith of Gentiles, those who were not born in the church, those who were not born of the people of God, to use their faith and trust to bring about His salvation. Do you see how Matthew has written his genealogy in such a way that we also are included? This genealogy is not just about the Jews and the pride of their descendants. This genealogy includes the faith of Gentiles, the faith of those who were not born of the promise, but who came to believe in the true God of Israel, who alone could bring salvation and deliverance from sin. And God used them to bring about His salvation. You see, Matthew's genealogy doesn't include every name. Matthew's genealogy is not divided by years, but Matthew's genealogy is perfect. The number 7 in the Jewish language is the perfect number. Matthew includes 3 epochs of twice 7, the perfect number, the perfect generation. 3 14s. 3 14s to express to us the one who would come, who is twice perfect, Jesus Christ. 3 14s. 3 twice perfects. 3 times better than anyone else, He who was perfect, Jesus Christ, who was not sinful, but was the Son of God, who came to earth to pay for our sin so that we can be perfect in Him. The Gospel of Matthew is targeted at Jews. It's targeted at those who wanted to deny that Jesus was the Christ. And Matthew's genealogy includes aspects to remind the Jews that salvation is more than just Abraham and for them, but this salvation through Jesus Christ was also for the Gentiles who had faith in salvation of the God of Israel. And as we are gathered here this morning as God's people, we're reminded of our families this time of year, of our descendants. And so often during this time of year, as families gather together once again, old memories and old hurts come back. Old sins are reminded of things that have taken place in the past, just as we see in the genealogy of Jesus. But Jesus Christ came to take away those things. Jesus Christ came to remind us that He alone can bring salvation and He alone can forgive sins. And even though we may belong to Him and have been in the church for generations as the people of God through our families, we must look at those who entered in to the line of Christ and be reminded of their faith. Are there people like Tamar who point back to us and say, and we have to say, she is more righteous than I? Are there prostitutes like Rahab who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and express more faith than we? Are there people like Ruth who come out of her mother-in-law's bitterness and who could have said, oh, the Lord gave me a raw deal in my life? Are there people like Ruth who won't let go of that God that we know and believe in Him for salvation? Are there Hittites like Uriah who are more faithful than even King David, more faithful than even us, who haven't known salvation their whole lives, but who've come to believe it and embrace it? You see, Matthew's genealogy speaks to us. It's not just to Jews. It's not just for us to know the history of Jesus Christ. It's there to remind us about Jesus' human nature. That human nature which was sinful. That human nature which was embraced even by Gentiles, even by those who didn't belong to the church or to the people of God, and whose faith was expressed in the salvation that only God could bring. May we have faith in Jesus Christ. May we recognize what God has done in bringing Him to this earth to forgive sins and to provide salvation for us. May we have faith in Him who is twice perfect, who alone has paid for our sins, so that we can be with Him in heaven, knowing that we are forgiven and that we are His. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. We're thankful that as Your people, we can look to this genealogy and see ourselves, that we too can recognize that we are all Gentiles, that we've come to believe by faith in Jesus Christ, that we don't belong by our own works, but only by Him. We pray that You would help us to embrace Him who is twice perfect, that we may embrace the Son of God, that we may too be included as God's people forever. Help us to have the kind of faith and trust in Him so that others who haven't had this precious truth for so long may not express more faith than we. Help us as Your people to live our lives for You. Help us to trust in Jesus Christ alone. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.